I listened to a sermon in which the example was given when the Lord Jesus was in the house of Simeon. This is actually the first sermon that I heard from the mouth of Brother Branham about the story of the woman when she came into the house of Simeon and fell down at the feet of Jesus. Not a single sentence is reported that she spoke. Not a single sentence. It is only being reported that she came into the house of her washing of the feet, of her welcome, of her anointing, of nothing, something is said. It is only reported that she fell at the feet of Jesus and that she wept, and that she wept so much that there was enough water to wash the feet of the Lord. This is totally different as when we make efforts to weep a bit. This was a totally different thing. She fell at the feet of the Lord and she wept. She didn't need to fetch a bowl of water. Enough water was flowing from her eyes and she experienced the Lord. She didn't need to say, "Lord, I'm here because, oh Lord, I ask for that. Lord, would you please? And Lord, would you?" She came to Jesus in the right attitude of her heart. And it was manifested in that, what she did. And when everything has come to its end, the Lord said to this woman, He said, "Your sins were many, but they are all forgiven. Go in peace and sin no more." And I'm convinced this woman went in peace. She didn't care about any Pharisee or Sadducee. She experienced the Lord. And she was glad that she could be at the feet of Jesus. I believe we must return to the beginning. After all the high knowledge, after all the deep teaching, after all the prophetic revelation, we must return to the feet of Jesus and let our tears flow for His grace and faithfulness, for that what He has done on us. We who we were condemned, we who could not have let ourselves be seen before God, having been pardoned by Him forever, and we may be at the feet of Jesus and then hear the blessed words from His mouth. This woman had no own imagination of her experience with the Lord. She didn't come and say, "Lord, I want a baptism of the Spirit today." She didn't come and say, "Lord, if you don't do this or that today, then I don't know my way around." All this was not the case. Nothing, she said. Her heart cried to God. She knew, when I'm at the feet of the Master, then He will know what He shall do with me. He knows what I need. He knows why I cry. He knows where my request is. If I only come to the feet of the Master, then I'm helped. And she was helped. She didn't have a wish list. She didn't bring any arguments. She came as she was and experienced the Lord, becoming quiet at the feet of Jesus, and thought by herself, "When I'm here, whatever He says, this will be right. Whatever He does will be done well." Oh, that we would succeed in these days to tear apart our own wish list and to be at the feet of Jesus in the same way, that we, for the grace of God's sake that was given to us, that we could just weep in the presence of the Lord, just wholeheartedly let our tears flow for the grace and mercy's sake that was given to us. Then everything else will come by its own. Then experiences will come that we didn't even think of at the moment, that we don't even want convulsive. He who comes convulsive will not receive anything at all. But he who comes humbly to the feet of the Lord and doesn't say, Lord, do now this. Lord, I want that. Lord, you know I have this. Let us forget all this. He knows what we need. He knows why we have come together here. He knows our request. The only thing what we need is to cast ourselves at the feet of Jesus in the dust and ashes and let our tears have free rein. What in that time went on in this woman, this we hardly can imagine. In the presence of the Master, not in a discussion about high knowledge, not about doctrinal problems. She had one thing on her heart. If I only get there where this Lord and Master is, casting myself at his feet, everything else he will know, everything else he will do. And this is the attitude with which I came into this meeting, not to say to the Lord, do this or that. Far from it. We come with the attitude, Lord, at your feet we want to be and abide in your presence so that you can do on us what you feel to be right in this hour. And I would like to all who maybe had not the opportunity to watch the course and the build up within the Church of the Lord in the last years, so precisely as we say it at this place, and we say it to all of us again, God has a way with the Church. This way was determined before the foundation of the world. For this there is no hurry. For this there is no delay. Our Lord takes all obstacles out of the way and cleans up on both sides so that all will know it. Our God is almighty. He has said enough, and he revealed his word and his will. After all the years of teaching, a deep purification and repentance broke forth. The Spirit of God started to work in a very special way and to make his way. How long this condition will last, I don't know. But one thing I know, that everything what God does is valid forever, and that it is necessary, and it must be, before that what we are waiting for can be manifested. We can say with an absolute certainty, Jesus is never too late. If we only find our way to him, not with accusations, not with allegations, not with arguments, but simply letting our tears have free flow out of thankfulness. As we just heard in this psalm, the Lord has done great things among the nations. It may not be that something takes up much room that brings unrest among the people of God. It is written, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And if we belong to the people of God, then this rest is for us. And whoever came to a rest in God, he rests from all his own works. And this we want. We want to have come to a rest with our own selves and with our own works, so that God can do his works through us and with us. And this we must understand. It is not written, there remaineth a rest to all people or to all Christians. There remaineth a rest to the people of God. And we may claim in this time to be the people of God. And therefore, this rest remaineth for us, and we may enter into this rest. And then we have come to an end with our own works and have given over to God the full responsibility. I have come to the point that I said to the Lord, you have the responsibility for your church and not I. You could die an early death if you let yourself be burdened with a load and a hardship, and you would perish with it. But if one understands that it's the Lord who has taken the full responsibility, then we become still in the living God, and in this quietness we will be helped. This is the word that the Lord has given me that I should read. Isaiah 30 from verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And ye would not. But ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. This not a man said, not even the prophet Isaiah, but as it is written here, thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. We know that we can speak about the power of God, about the power of the Holy Spirit, or about the power of the name of Jesus. We can, when we use the term power, we can speak about it from certain points of view, from the Holy Scripture. But here it's about a very special thing. Here it is about that to us, in the confidence toward God, we are helped. And he who has confidence, he comes to a rest. He who has confidence becomes still. He who has confidence rests in the Almighty God and knows that he will bring to pass his course in a wonderful way. Also all of us, who we sometimes get into unrest, if we just become still, when the Spirit of God can bring us unto a rest, then we hear a quiet voice say, the Lord will bring everything to pass. When we become still, we hear him say, everything will end wonderfully. When we become still, we hear his voice. the end will be more glorious than the beginning was. When you are restless, then one doesn't hear anything of all these promises. One just hears his own arguments and the arguments of the others, and it goes to and fro without that you are helped. Here it says, by returning, and this God did with us, we returned. In returning and rest, not in returning and murmur, not in returning and speaking to and fro, in returning and rest. And this is so difficult. Now, in the last moments before the coming of the Lord, now that we all should be busy with everything what goes on in the kingdom of God, we shall suddenly become still. We shall have a rest after we have returned. And this is one of the most difficult things that God has assigned to us. If he would have said, now, after you returned, you can conquer the world. You can do the most mighty things, for mighty things have happened. Then we all would be in the midst of it, and it would be according to our mentality. But God wants to lead us to a rest, so that finally his power can be really manifested. And it says here, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Everything else God will accomplish at his time and hour. In quietness, and there is this word of prophecy, he who is wise in this time is quiet. When we came into the rest in God and have recognized that he has a way with his church, and when we understood that we have been born again unto a living hope, and we don't have to fool one another at all, we see from the past that all believers who were ordained by God to be saved, they, in their time, they received and accepted the divine message, and they experienced God in the way as it was preached at their time. I said it already last Wednesday night. In the time of Reformation, the believers could not make the experience that would go beyond the proclamation. The experience of the believers was always within the limits of the respective proclamation. We see later on, in the time of the sanctification under John Wesley, there was again something totally new, and the people experienced God within this proclamation sent by God again. Then came the turn of the century with a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and according to the proclamation, the believers experienced God in such a way. The time didn't come to a stop. Today, we cannot turn back the years. We cannot go back to the turn of the century and here having a Pentecostal experience as it was at that time, bringing it into existence again, unless God would do it by his grace. And for this we are waiting, as then on the day of Pentecost, for the end shall be as the beginning was. But we know that after this mighty Pentecostal revival, where the emphasis was put upon the baptism of the Spirit and of the gifts of the Spirit, it was emphasized in a special way. Then, after the Second World War, this mighty healing revival broke through. It was no more, and also not in the meetings of Brother Branham, and nobody shall think here that Brother Frank makes himself an alibi to justify himself in some kind of way. But I must tell you the truth. It was a different time epoch that started in the kingdom of God. And the angel of the Lord, who came to Brother Branham on the 7th of May 1946, he didn't say, "I come from the presence of God and I send you that you preach that the Holy Spirit will be poured out upon all flesh." That had already happened. He said, "I was sent from the presence of God to tell you that to you was given a gift of divine healing and that you shall go." And we know what the angel said, as Moses were given two signs, so you are given two signs in accompany with this gift and with this ministry. A new time broke forth, and we see that even the ministry of this servant of God, from the evangelistic proclamation, merged into the teaching proclamation, and from the teaching it merged into the prophetic revelation of the word of prophecy that is destined for our time. We are not at the beginning of these things. We cannot even repeat in a true sense the first years of the ministry of Brother Branham, nor can we repeat his second ministry, nor his third. It is a walking forward in the kingdom of God, and I wouldn't even dream of it to copy something or to repeat something unless God does it. But I will not dare to play a Brother Branham. I want to be what God has made out of me. And now it's no more alone about the healing of the body. It is about the total deliverance, about the soul. It's about salvation. It's about much more, as it was about in the past years. And because it is about more, therefore God walks a deeper way with us. And I cannot say, "Lord, you let us wait too long." I must place myself into the situation of God's servants who spoke in the name of the Lord and prophesied, and who could not even see of what they were speaking of, but they went home without seeing with their own eyes the fulfillment of that what they prophesied with their mouth. We believe what God promised to us. We will see the completion of the work of God. We will see the capstone as it comes down upon the divine building. And I don't even dream of it to let myself be made nervous in some kind of way. Our God deserves full confidence, and we who we come together at this place, and that's how we read it, we should have a rest and become quiet. These two things belong together. If one says to someone, "Be quiet," or one says, "Be silent," this is almost one and the same. The one could refer to the deeds and the other to words. If somebody wants to do something, then one can tell him, "Be calm." Then he knows that in that moment he doesn't need to do anything. If one tells him, "Be quiet," then he keeps his mouth shut. And when we understood these two things, that we can only speak then when God has given the hour, so that it happens by faith and not in unbelief. What good is a speaking when it was done in unbelief? It's neither a use for him who spoke nor to them who heard. But when we can be calm and be in quietness, when this combination can be given to us by God, and when to this combination don't throw away the confidence, because we know it brings a high reward, but we persevere until the end, then we will see the glory of God. There we can be unconcerned, and nobody should insinuate to me that I distribute soft pillows here for the heads. It's enough when we sit on our seats. This I don't want, but I have to tell you, this word God has given to me directly, and this I have to say. This is the word for the situation in which the Church of the Living God has arrived in this moment. And when the hour of God comes, that He will about to do something different, to do something new, then He will speak, then He will reveal it. We all have to learn it now. Even though the people say, nothing is happening, who tells you this? In every meeting, something great happened. Right or not? When a person says, nothing is happening, then this is not right. I have never experienced a service in which God would not have spoken through His Word and would have worked through His Holy Spirit. Right or not? So, God does something. Maybe not that yet, what we are waiting for. Maybe not the way we think it. But this we said right at the beginning. Our place is at the feet of Jesus, without saying much words to Him or telling Him what He has to do. When we rest at His feet, then He will know what He has to do with us and those around us and in all the world. He is the Lord. May He give the commissions as it pleases to Him. In resting shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. We most certainly came here to ask God that He may give us strength. Do you know that you don't need to come to God with this word strength at all? That you just have to follow this recipe so that His strength is given to you in returning, in resting, and in quietness, and in confidence shall be your strength. It is not only in the words which we formulate, it's in the thing itself that we have to understand that God does in this time by His grace. We cannot turn back the history of the kingdom of God. It goes forward in these 10 years, and one can almost say exactly on the month and on the year, it were 10 years in which we carried out the commission as God commanded it. Since April this year, something has become different in the proclamation. We see now what we didn't see before, and we feel by the leading of the Holy Spirit that we are now in a transition time from teaching, from theory, into the practice, into the experience, into the possessing of that what God promised. Now come the things on which we waited for a long time. And yet, I could not say to you today whether it will still take days, weeks, months, or years. Who of us in the year 1966, who of us would have dared to believe with one thought that 10 more years will pass in which we can preach the Word of God? When one hears the tape sermons of Brother Branham, then he always spoke in a way as if the coming of the Lord is in the next moment. And when I take you back to the letters of Paul, whether to 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 51 or to 1 Thessalonians 4 from verse 16, then he includes himself and says, "We shall not all fall asleep, but we all shall be changed in a twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trump of God will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise," and so forth. He has seen all this in his prophetic sight, so near, with not one moment this great man of God was thinking that almost 2,000 years would pass until that what he's waiting for can be fulfilled. If we would ask all the servants of God, then the divine things were so alive in them, so present, they experienced it daily because they walked with God. It was not a dead thing, it was a living faith that kept them in the presence of God, and they were in this great expectation of that what God would do. In the same way, it was with Brother Branham, and especially since the opening of the seven seals. There the question was asked, "Is the time of grace over now?" And he says, "It looks pretty much like that." He didn't say yes and not no. He said, "It looks pretty much like that." And we are now so many years after this, and we may say we are still in the time of grace. God is still gracious on whom he is gracious. But for him it was so present, it was so near. He saw the unfolding in the kingdom of God that he counted with it any moment. And we all also counted with it, and we continue to count with it. But we cannot fix God in time. We cannot give him accusations. Don't you think I could sleep better if the sick would be healed, the dead would be raised, and the cripples would be healed? Don't you think that this would be better for my nervous system? And if somebody would have to be in a desperate state and in a terrible situation, then it's of course me. But I may take this word for myself that God has assigned to me in resting, in quietness, and in confidence in the living God, being convinced that he will bring everything to pass. Therein is my strength. Praise and thanks be to the living God. And this word the Lord gave me about 2 hours before the service. And it said, "Tell my people, this is the hour in which we arrived." And this is the picture that applies to us. Woe unto him who says, "On horses we will ride, we will do this and that." Then we would have to flee upon horses that pursue us. These things which we want to do over hasty, they pursue us then and will become our enemies and paralyze us on our way. Did you hear it? This the Spirit of God spoke, and not I. The things that we do over hasty, but that we cannot do, they will become our enemies and pursue us on our way and paralyze our strength. But when we can rest and become quiet, then God will come to his right. When we find our place at the feet of Jesus, and when we thank him with all our hearts for the grace and the privilege among millions in this generation, having had heard his word, and bow before his footstool, seeking his face, then he will speak to us, and let us go justified and blessed. In resting ye shall be saved, and in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And then it says, and ye would not, but you said, no, no, impossible, we must, forget all your impossible, forget all your we must nothing, we must become quiet, and we must rest, and everything else God will do at his time. Otherwise, we will make things our enemies that paralyze us on our way of faith and are an obstacle. Did you all understand this? All until the last one? That we just have to enter into the rest of God. I don't mean to fall asleep spiritually. I'm not speaking of this. I mean that in the kingdom of God, nothing has happened after one's own will, and also nothing will happen after one's own will. As certain as holy men, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, spoke, so certain the same Holy Spirit will bring forth the word that has to be fulfilled, and will give the inspiration so that it finds fulfillment. Not I, but God watches over his word to fulfill it. Also Brother Branham, of himself, he would not have known all these things, but the Spirit of God revealed unto him the promises and the prophecies. He pointed him to it, and this we experienced over and again during the past years. And it humbles me into the dust and into the ashes when I think about it, what God accomplished in all of us and on thousands through his word in all the world. Is this nothing? God has done great and mighty things among all nations. Certainly, we also have to wait for this hour. But not that we accuse the Lord, not that we make ourselves nervous, not that we start doing to and fro, as if we would be able to accelerate the things in the kingdom of God. When you continue to read this chapter, that what they wanted to do was later on done with them. Upon horses they wanted to flee, later they were pursued by horses. The things which we want to do over hasty, they will afterward pursue us. And this we don't want, and this may not be. I have respect before every brother whose heart is on fire, that God wants to do great things. But then come with this suggestion and humble yourself at the feet of Jesus, and don't speak to others about it and make them nervous and wild. But when something is laid upon your heart, then come with it to the feet of Jesus, and then he will speak and he will work when his time and hour has come. What good is it for us when we make ourselves nervous and say, for so long we have waited and nothing happened? I say once again, he who dares to say that nothing has happened, his eyes are not yet anointed with a divine eye self, for what is going on now is greater than that what happened in the whole past. God doesn't go backward with the church. God walks forward, and the hour must be near. But this we must understand, that we don't make ourselves nervous and say, so long we have waited, 1 year after the other passed. Is this not written in the prophets? They say, the prophecies that he speaks there because of visions, they tarry year after year. But speak to the house of Israel, henceforth there shall be no delay anymore. But what I, the Lord, have said, this will be fulfilled. But the day and the hour must come for it. Nobody can say here, Brother Frank, you do it. Who am I? I have to wait for it like everyone else. And I have to be patient. And that this is not easy for me, this you can all imagine. But when I have come into a rest with God, then I rest from my own works. Then I have to do nothing anymore. Then I see only one who finished on the seventh day the work of creation, and who then rested. I see him who in the seventh church age completes his church, to then in the millennium rests with his bride. Then we don't have to worry anymore, but rest in God and become quiet. And in this divine rest, not in my rest and not in yours, there remaineth a rest to the people of God, a resting in God, a resting in his word, a resting in his promises, a divine confidence in the living God, that he will bring everything to pass by his grace. Are you all convinced of it? And in the same way, we are convinced, no matter what our experiences might have been already or not, we are all convinced that the blood of the Lamb has washed us, and that we recognized the word of truth, and that we are a possession of Jesus Christ, and that he will perfect us, and that without us being a part of the bride, there cannot be a marriage supper in heaven. He must complete his bride church before the marriage can take place. And because we are part of it, therefore we are patient, and we know he will bring it to pass. Praise be to his wonderful name. Now I would like to read on in this chapter, namely from verse 19. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. Is this not a wonderful comfort? Thou people in Zion, not in Babel, in Zion, we have returned unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God. And as Paul says, to the Jerusalem of the righteous who have been made perfect, we have returned to the living God and to the city of God, thou people who dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more, for sure not. From today on, nobody needs to weep anymore, for God heard our prayers. He has seen our misery. He has heard our cry. And he himself just waits for the hour that he has appointed according to his plan of salvation. Yes, you people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. He has heard our cry. And when he says here, through the prophet, for sure he will be very gracious unto thee, either we believe it or we don't believe it. And we may say, he was already gracious unto us, and he will continue to be gracious until we come from believing unto seeing, and he will let us lack nothing. It says here, when he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. Why? When that what is being taught does not happen, then one could creep away to hide. Then one could hide oneself. But then your teachers will no longer need to hide. Why not? Because God, that what was taught, he will make it known in the church of the living God. This is the hour in which we arrived, brothers and sisters, that God has heard our cry. Also, this meantime had its place, and one doesn't need to think evil of anyone who has given vent to his feelings and who probably said, for how long shall it go on, and who had some kind of conversation. Nobody needs to think evil of the other one. Nobody needs to accuse himself or someone else. But now, in this hour, on this day, God lets us hear this word. It's a word that the prophet spoke for this time, and that is written in the Holy Scripture to give us on this day the divine comfort, and to raise us up and to make us still in the presence of God. Certainly, it is clear to me that the Holy Spirit has to reveal this word to everyone. This cannot be done from the front. But when I say to you that I intended to translate a sermon of Brother Branham tonight, and the Spirit of God said, open the Bible and read them the word, I didn't have to look for it. I didn't flip pages to find it. When the Lord, on this day, in this way, speaks to us, then let us, as the people of God, enter into the rest of God, and in the firm confidence to the living God, therein is our strength. And this is not a little strength, for this is the power of God, by which we are carried, by which we are kept. And here it is written, thou people who dwell in Zion, you shall weep no more. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, and this is possible, that we don't go scot-free, but this we shall know, that the teachers don't need to hide anymore. For God will stand to it what was given to his people as Bible teachings and as prophetic revelation in this time. All of us, by the grace of God, we will experience and see what the Lord God will do by grace among his people who have come into the rest. You all know, even humanly and earthly, when there is somewhere unrest, everything goes wrong. And one blames always the others. But when there is unrest somewhere, then the thing doesn't run as one would like to have it. God wants to make a nice thing in this time among his people. He wants to bring everything to the completion. He wants to make an end to all the unrest and the own will and doings, and says, just become still and rest and trust in me. Therein is your strength. And this strength of God that is in the confidence toward him, he wants to give us tonight, that we are no longer in unrest and make others nervous. The sinful woman who was at the feet of Jesus, she didn't say, Lord, you didn't give healing, you didn't do this and that, nothing. She went away justified. For her, everything was done. She was at the feet of Jesus. And whatever experience he gave her, for this she was thankful. Brothers and sisters, let us do the same at this place. We don't want to say, Lord, you didn't baptize me in the Spirit now, and therefore I'm angry. Who gives us a reason to be angry after God has done so much on us? If you would walk today through the countries to find out how many received the baptism in the Holy Spirit since the turn of the century, I don't know whether 1 million is enough. In America, the Pentecostal Church is the greatest Protestant movement that exists, greater than the Lutheran Church, greater than the Baptist Church and the Methodists. In all of America, there is not one denomination that could reach to the Pentecostal Church. There are millions who received the baptism in the Holy Spirit since the turn of the century. And the question is, where are they today? God does something greater. And don't you worry about the sealing, about the perfection. The living God has taken the responsibility for us. I rest in him, and I become still in him, so that he can speak, as then to the woman. The woman didn't speak, therefore he could speak. If she would have said much, who knows what would have come out of it. But she was quiet, and the Lord spoke, and his words were so precious to her. One doesn't read anything what she said, neither when she came, nor when she went, nor while she was washing his feet. Her heart may have spoken volumes when she was at the feet of the Master. She was so overwhelmed, so privileged, that she could be there. She must have been aware of it, what was given to her, to be there at the feet of the Master. Otherwise, he was always on the go and prayed for the sick and was plagued by the crowds. But here, no one cared about him. Here she could care about him. Here she could fall at his feet and let her heart have free rein. Not to her lips, not to the words. Her heart, God did open, and the tears flowed. This is it, what we need tonight, to thank the Lord for that, what he has done. The evangelistic ministry was followed by the teaching of the biblical truths that were restored to the church according to the pattern of the early church. And then came the prophetic revelation, the opening of the seals, and all the mysteries of God that were connected. Now all this is behind us, and we move slowly to Mount Carmel. And we slowly reach Mount Carmel. But not at the bottom, but on top. the thing will be manifest. And we just have to be patient. And the scripture says, ye have need of patience, so that you obtain the promises of God. We have to contain ourselves in this patience. And I assure you once again, it is the hardest for me. This you can believe me. But since the Lord has given me this word today, and I should say it here, I also have to say the same word to me, that I and all of us, we have to contain ourselves in patience, and that we shall rest with all our own works and will. Even which experiences we want to make with God, should it be that God, now at the end, as at the beginning, baptizes a multitude of believers at once by a direct supernatural experience with the Holy Ghost and fire, who would change it? That would be our preference. And this I can assure you, that no one of you will enter glory without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You will all receive it prior to that. This is as certain as God said it. Whether I receive it one day before the rapture or 1 year, that's not my business. But God will lay the power first in us before we are taken up. For the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, it must be in our mortal bodies. In quietness, therein is your strength. Have confidence to the living God. He never disappointed anyone, and he will not disappoint us. No one will be put to shame who has put his trust in the living God. He who has put his trust in Brother Branham, he is put to shame already now. And when the year 77 passes, many will be put to shame. And he who has put his trust in Brother Frank or somebody else will also be disappointed. But he who has put his trust in the living God, he cannot be put to shame. The Almighty God guarantees us salvation. He guarantees us glory. He promised it. The blood of the Lamb was shed for our reconciliation, for the forgiveness of our sins. And as certain as Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, so certain we are washed and purified and are a possession of Jesus Christ for time and for eternity. And as certain as there can be no marriage supper without the bride church, so certain he will complete his church. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord our God, for his word of comfort and strength and courage that he has given us on this evening by his grace. And all the world may hear that the living God has turned his face to us, to bless us and to complete us, and to manifest the power of his name and for the confirmation of his eternal word. Blessed be his name from the rising of the sun unto its setting. Amen.